We read the Holy Scriptures together this morning in Revelation chapter 1. Let us open the Bible together to Revelation, the last book of the Bible, chapter 1. We read these scriptures this morning in connection with the fourth commandment of the law of God to remember the Sabbath day and to keep it holy. That's the commandment that we are up to as we treat the Ten Commandments as explained to us in our Heidelberg Catechism. Reading the Scripture, God's Word, Revelation 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bear record of the word of God, and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so. Amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God, and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle, and his head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the seven angels of the seven churches. And the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. May God bless his word this morning to our heart. We read in verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard a great voice as of a trumpet. And then three other verses I'd like to read in connection with the fourth commandment. Two from the Old Testament, the prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 58, the verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 58, verse 13, if thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, that means from putting your foot on the Sabbath, from rubbing the Sabbath down with your foot. If thou turn away from that, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thy own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thy own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. And I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And then also in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 23, and in Isaiah 66, God has been speaking of the New Testament fulfillment of all things in Jesus Christ, even as they're fulfilled in the new heavens and in the new earth, pointing then to the New Testament time, verse 23, and it shall come to pass, Isaiah 66, 23, and it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. And then finally, I'd like to read with you the Lord's words in Mark chapter 2, verses 27 and 28. When his disciples had been accused of picking corn on the Sabbath day in the fields, his response in Mark 2, verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. Now, on the basis of these scriptures, we confess together what we have in Lord's Day 38 of our Heidelberg Catechism, and you'll find that on page 22 this morning. And I'd like to read that with you. Lord's Day 38, question 103 on the fourth commandment of God's law. And I'll ask the question, and we'll recite the answer in unison. What does God require in the fourth commandment? First, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, and that I, especially on the Sabbath, that is, on the day of rest, diligently frequent the church of God to hear his word, to use the sacraments, publicly to call upon the Lord, and contribute to the relief of the poor, as becomes a Christian. Secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from all my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by his Holy Spirit in me, and thus begin in this life the eternal Sabbath. Revelation chapter 1 that we just read is really the record of a Sabbath day on the island of Patmos sometime around the year of 90 AD. It's really the transcript of a Sunday worship on that island led by the aged Apostle John and perhaps a handful of other prisoners for the Lord Jesus Christ. It was a Sabbath that was held, or a service that was held, under severe restrictions. For they were bound as prisoners, perhaps in some cell, where they would worship for Christ's sake. That Sabbath morning began, as we read in verse 4, with a benediction that John gave. Grace be to you and peace from him which was and which is to come, from the seven spirits before the throne of God, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead. The Sabbath began with the greeting of the ascended Lord Jesus Christ, lifting their souls, our souls, up to the victory that is in Jesus Christ, lifting us up out of this world. That's the first thing on a Sunday service. The Sabbath continued that day. The service continued with the response of the congregation of homage and love to him. Unto him, verse 5, that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and has made us to be kings and priests unto our God, be glory and dominion forever and ever. And then after the benediction, the rest of the service centered in the voice of him, in the word of him, the King of the church, and hearing that soul-stirring voice in their souls, the one who spoke as a trumpet, the one who stood amid the seven candlesticks, that is, who stands this morning in the church and speaks to us through his word, to these despised prisoners, to these restricted worshipers, to these troubled saints, he spake a word that gave rest, that fed their souls, that humbled them, and gave them joy. But if you had somehow been able to visit them and be in that service, or if you had been the Roman guard looking through the bars at this service, you would have received no blessing at all unless it were true of you, as it was true of John when he says, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. When John says there, I was in the Spirit, he doesn't mean just simply or immediately that we know in this book of Revelation he's going to be lifted up by the Spirit to receive visions of all that must transpire before the end of the world. That's part of it. But when he says the words, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, he simply means to say how he came to church, how he came to the worship service. I was caught up in the Spirit. I came spiritually to the worship service. That is, the Spirit in me, I did not want to be the spirit of the world, thinking of this world and all the things of this life. But I came to the Lord's day in the Spirit of Jesus Christ, focused by the Holy Spirit on eternal life and the truth of my salvation. That's how I came to the service. The Roman guard, as he watched them, also had a spirit. And it was tuned till when it would be over and his shift would be done and he could go join the guys in the barracks and drink and gamble and set his heart, because his heart was always tuned to the things of this life. John approached the Sabbath day by grace in Jesus Christ. He approached Sunday a totally different way. He was focused on the reality of the heavenly realm and his salvation in Jesus Christ. And he came to this day because he needed the day. Spiritually, I was in the Spirit. Is that true of you and me this Sabbath morning? What spirit is it that tunes, that is in our hearts when we wake up on any day, for sure, but on the Sabbath day? What controls when you wake up? What are the things you have to get done? This pleasant life? The pleasures that we're missing out? The world looks at us and say, you're missing out. Is it that spirit? Or is it the Spirit of Christ? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. So we want to look then at the fourth commandment as it's explained in the Word of God, as we read in the Catechism. And we want to see that it's an urgent command, that it calls us to a spiritual delight in this day. And then we want to see the faithful observance of this day. The fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, is the urgent command of Jesus Christ to us with our families, that of the 7 days of the week, there be a special day called the Sabbath that we diligently keep, even unto the day of our death and unto the day of his return at the end of the world. The commandment begins, remember. And to remember here means to hold as a priority in your life, to hold that which was most important, to hold it close to your heart. The word remember is used that way in Scripture. Not simply jog your memory, but hold this before you so you don't forget at all. Moses said to the people of Israel when they went through the Red Sea, remember this day in which you came out of Egypt. Don't forget what you saw of the mighty deliverance of God out of Egypt. They would soon forget. The people said to Joshua when he was appointed to be the leader instead of Moses, they said to him, Joshua, remember the word that came to you from the servant of the Lord Moses. The thief on the cross before he died said to the Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. He wasn't saying, give me a flickering thought. Hold me in your heart. The Word of God says in Hebrews 13, verse 3, when speaking of those who are persecuted in other lands, remember them that are in bonds as being in the flesh, being one with them. Remember means hold it in your heart throughout the whole week. Remember to keep it holy. To keep it holy means to set it aside, to dedicate it to something else. We dedicate every day to the service of our Lord, but he's given us our earthly calling and our stewardship, and we desire to be faithful in that stewardship. But set one of the days of the seven, set it apart. Don't set loose by it. Don't think that it's simply two times to church and that's it. Don't call it my day for my pleasure and to say my words. Don't be a oncer. Don't let watching the services at home on the internet, we thank God for the blessing, but don't let it degenerate into an attitude that you'd have for watching anything else on flip the channel and see what others are going on in other churches. Don't do that. Don't sit in the pew and tune out. Remember, says Jesus Christ, to keep it holy. Don't forget. The fourth commandment is forgotten. It's forgotten by our secular society. And it's forgotten by the secular society of America because of evolution. And evolution rejects God creating the world in 6 days, resting on the seventh, and calling all to do as he did. It's rejected because of the spirit of self-pleasure and self and materialism and achievement. And so when we read from Isaiah 58, it's very applicable to our day, doing thy own pleasure on the Lord's day. And it's rejected in the church due to especially the error of dispensationalism, the error that says that the law of God, the moral law of the fourth commandment, doesn't have authority anymore. And there is no special day anymore for Christians. And the urgency comes upon us, not just because of evolution, and not just because of materialism, and not just because of false doctrine. Yes, they all affect us, but it comes to us. Don't use Sunday as any other day. It's not a day for professional sports. It's not a day to be filled up with technology and the iPhone, that we are chained to that phone. Also on the Sabbath day, remember this day to keep it holy, set aside to the Lord, is the voice of Christ. Why? First of all, because as we said, we saw from Scripture, it's in the commandment itself, the fourth commandment, that God created the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. That is, he created time. He created days. He created the week. And he willed in creation that one of the seven be a day of rest. The Lord himself rested, as we read in the creation narrative in Genesis chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all of his work that he made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in that day he rested from all his work which the Lord had created and made. He rested. Which does not mean that God was tired. It does not mean that God was idle. He is the eternally active, upholding God. But it means that he saw his work. He rejoiced in his perfect created work. And when he called Adam, even before sin, to rest on the seventh day, he called Adam to rejoice in the work of God, to come apart from the normal 6 days, and to rejoice in his God. I want a day, said God to Adam. I want every day. But I want a day in which you're not dressing the garden, but you're meditating with me on my wonders. Secondly, the fourth commandment is not only a creation ordinance for man, but the fourth commandment is part of the moral law of God, that is one of the Ten Commandments. And the fourth commandment of the ten has not been erased by Jesus Christ. We would say, thou shalt not kill. That's still in force. Thou shalt not steal. That's still in force. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Well, the world would say, that's not enforced. But some of these commandments certainly are still enforced. But the fourth commandment, that one has been erased. That's gone. Now, it's true that in the Old Testament, there are ceremonial laws and civil laws. That is, God gave Israel at that time laws concerning the government that were peculiar or particular to them, concerning how they would plow a field, concerning the consequences of having a stray ox kill your neighbor, and stuff like that. He also gave them ceremonial laws, how they were to worship and sacrifice, and certain days that they were to have special worship services. And we know that the blood of Jesus Christ has fulfilled that civil and that ceremonial law. And there are those who say, well, the fourth commandment had aspects of the ceremonial law in the Old Testament. They could not pick up sticks. They could not pick up manna on that day. But though those ceremonial aspects are gone, the fourth commandment is part of the moral law of God, the Ten Commandments written on stone. And in the fourth commandment, God says that he blessed the Sabbath day. And so all of Scripture sets aside to be kept for Christians, for the people of God, a day. Jesus, while on earth, went to the synagogue to worship on the Sabbath day. Jesus, while on earth, when he attacked the legalism that the Pharisees had attached to the day, that the day was simply an outward prescribed list of things not to do. He condemned that. But he did not take away the fourth commandment, keep the Sabbath day. So the third reason is we keep the Sabbath day because the Scriptures teach us that the Sabbath day, and now we see that the Sabbath day is changed to the first day of the week. We see that in this point. But the Sabbath day is called the Lord's Day. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. Doesn't the Lord possess every day? He certainly does. He is Lord of all. But he has chosen, again, and it is revealed to the Scriptures that there be that day that we are set aside, cease from our work, not employ ourselves in that work, and to devote it to the Lord. Already in the Old Testament, the remembrance of the Sabbath day was not only because of creation, but it was also they were to remember redemption. And I've pointed out to you a number of times that in Exodus 20, the Sabbath is rooted in creation. But this morning we read from Deuteronomy 5, and it's rooted in redemption. Remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God brought thee out thence. And so we understand that the Sabbath, Saturday, in the Old Testament, the people were always looking ahead to the rest. They would labor, and then they would rest. But now it's Sunday, the first day of the week, because the rest of salvation has been given to us in Jesus Christ. We begin, we don't end the week. We begin, this is the first day. We begin the week in the rest that is in Jesus Christ. On this day, this Lord's Day, the Lord would have us look to his work, not just the work of the creation, but his work in his death and in his resurrection and in his ascension into heaven. And we are to rest in what he has done for our souls in this day. And so in the New Testament, we find that the church is worshiping on the first day of the week. The Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 20, waits a whole week to worship until it was Sunday, and then worshiped on Sunday. Pentecost, the pouring out of the Spirit, was on Sunday. The Lord arose on the first day of the week. The church in Corinth was told that they were to have a service their regular service on the first day of the week, where they would receive money for a collection to the poor saints. We keep it because of the creation ordinance. We keep it because it's a moral law. We keep it because it's the Lord's Day, Sunday. And we keep it because it's the mark of the Christian. And it's the mark of the church, the bride of Christ, who's waiting for the eternal day. I can say that negatively, but I want it to be positive in your heart. Negative, I could say it this way. If we neglect the Sabbath day, and if we fall away from it, and if slowly we fall away from frequenting God's house twice on the Lord's day, if we fall away from that in a very short time, we will fall away from everything. In a very short time, our eye and the eye of the church will be taken away from Christ, and it will be focused on ourselves and this world. And it will happen to our children, and it will happen quickly. Because the Sabbath is that connection between the church and the Lord. It's the emblem of that eternal rest. The Sabbath is what keeps the flame of faith burning in our hearts. When the church is at its strongest, the Sabbath is loved and reverenced and kept. When the Sabbath is lost in the church is weak, and apart from God's grace, falls away and apostatizes. In the last 50 years, even among Christians, it's been called to be a legalist, a Sabbatarian. There's a certain spiritual arrogance in the church. We don't need that. We can work out our own spirituality, our own spiritual path. When the Sabbath disappears, generations fall away. What I'm saying is, beloved, that Sabbath neglect is not just another symptom of spiritual decline. I'm saying it's more than that. The Word of God is saying it's more than that. It's the cause. It's the cause of many spiritual declines. But you see now, beloved, we have a reason to keep the Sabbath day. And that reason is those four, for sure, but we have a reason because of spiritual delight. We keep the Sabbath day for positive reasons. The delight that is ours in Jesus Christ in this day. The Sabbath commandment is not simply another external commandment, a chore. I know we have our flesh, but we have to put this thinking away from us. Sunday's not a chore. It's not a burden. I'm not here because I have to be here. We must not be as in the days of Amos when they were departing from the Word of God. Amos says, God, here's what you're saying about Sunday. You're all saying, when will the day be over and we can get back to life? I hear that, says the Lord. That's not why we keep the Sabbath day. Jesus said the Sabbath was made for man. It was made for us. Not to be a tradition, not to be an inconvenience, but it was made for that new man in Jesus Christ that pants for salvation, that loves the Lord and his people, that feels a need. And the Sabbath is exactly that need that I have in this wicked world with this wicked flesh of mine. I need that day. Has not COVID-19 came and come by the hand of God, maybe just for this reason? Has it not shown his grace in you that you want to be in church with the people of God? Can you? Can you make it? Can you do it without the Sabbath? That's because of the work of grace. That's because God tells us the Sabbath is a delight, a spiritual delight, and that's the way we need to bring up our children. We cease from our own labor that we may rest. And that rest in Scripture is always associated with salvation. Rest in Scripture is enjoyment of deliverance. It's peace. Deliverance from my sin in Christ Jesus. Comfort for my soul in the risen Lord Jesus. Rest from the burdens of my sin. And so, Sunday is a day of spiritual activity that we're performing out of that delight of the rest that is ours. The preaching of the word to our souls, the sacraments, family worship, time together as a family, inviting the lonely into our homes, visiting the needy, contemplation, good reading, getting caught up on our spiritual life, not just stop working. But it's a work of a different kind. It's soul labor. It's not moaning and groaning, do I have to? I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. What Spirit? Spirit of this world, of self, pleasures, things, my own things. Is that what I'm in the Spirit? Even as I worship in church on Sunday, I'm taking time out from the world, waiting to go back to it. That was the Roman guard. He looked in. He looked in. Or is that spirit that does is not one that looks in, but that is in touch with the glorious gospel of peace? Then we have blessing. Fellowship with God, communion, worship, assurance of the forgiveness of sins. We have instruction in the way of godliness and Christ-likeness, the hope of heaven, the coals of the hope of heaven are fanned by the word of God, so they grow, they become hot again. There's blessings with our families. God says, cease from your labor, your work. Yes, work of necessity. Yes, work of mercy. Yes. Yes. God says, cease from your labor and rest in me. If we forsake the Sabbath, we forfeit the blessings. We become ignorant of God's word. Our children become ignorant of God's word. We give to our children, if we do not bring them with us as they are able. If we don't bring them, then we give them the stones of the world instead of the bread of Jesus Christ. It begins to affect all of our relationships. If we forsake the Sabbath, it infects our spirit, our mentalities. We become more selfish. And we have enough of that to begin with. But it infects all of our relationships. The spirit of the world crowds everything out, all of our interests for spiritual things. Forsake the Sabbath, and we become more and more selfish. And ultimately, it's ruin, spiritual ruin. Delight thyself in the Lord. Delight thyself in the Lord's day. Give yourself to the Lord's day. Well, we ask then, Lord, that spirit is by grace in me. I desire to be in thy spirit on the Lord's day. How do we observe the Lord's day? And the catechism from Scripture is very practical, very down to earth. It tells us basically we need to focus on this day on just three things, not a long list. Three things. Our focus in this day must be on the Word of Christ. Never any Sabbath keeping without the Word of Christ in your life. Now, the Catechism, the Heidelberg Catechism, surprises us totally when we ask, what does God require in the fourth commandment? And we go to the catechism this morning and we start reading, and we're assuming that it's going to say, what does the fourth commandment require of us? We were thinking, first of all, that you go to church. Or, first, that you don't have a Sunday job. We're thinking, that's what it's going to say, but it doesn't say that. It says these words, first, that the ministry of the gospel and the schools be maintained, so that I, especially on the Sabbath day, may hear the word of God. And the argument is very plain. Central to keeping the fourth commandment is to hear the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The schools that must be maintained, that the catechism is referring to, are seminaries, where ministers are trained to preach the Word of God so that we can have a trained clergy to expound Holy Scripture. Yes, we love our Christian schools. And in wisdom and zeal, we have them to educate and train our children, to prepare them for their vocation. In this life, as a child of God, they are precious to us. But the catechism means here a seminary. And that becomes clear when you look at the scriptural references. You see that they quote from Deuteronomy 12, verse 19, "Take heed to thyself that thou forsake not the Levite as long as thou livest on the earth." The Levites were the full-time, you remember, teachers of the law of God who had no ownership of property, and all of Israel had to give one-tenth to support the Levite so that the Levite could engage himself only in the teaching of the Word of God. So the first thing is that we have ministers who preach to us the Word of God. We feel a great need for faithful ministers of the Word of God. It lives in our souls. It touches us. We need faithful ministers. Ministers who are shepherds after God's heart, who love the flock and lead the flock to the sweet waters of God. And we need young men in seminary. We say, well, there's a lot of troubles now and criticisms. What young man would even want to go in? We need young men in the ministry because the souls of our children, our souls, need rest. We need rest in this world. Because we need ministers, because it's through that voice and word of God that God is going to call out of this world his church. And if ministers dry up, we will not enjoy the Sabbath rest. Pray, Jesus says, pray the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest. And then you note that the catechism's application is a very, very broad application. It's the need for ministers, for sure, if we're going to have the Sabbath rest. But it's talking about our relationship to that ministry. It's talking about our relationship to the preaching of the gospel. You must not think, beloved, we must not think that we are just recipients of this. We think of ministers and we say, oh, we're recipients of that. No, the catechism says you're not a recipient, you're the supporter of this ministry in your life. You support the ministry of the Word of God by your prayers. You support the ministry of the Word of God going forth by your presence. One of the great testimonies to the world of Jesus Christ is a full parking lot on Sunday night. And we support the ministry by our finances, by the budget of the church. And we support the ministry of the Word of God by encouragement, every one of us, to young men for the ministry of the Word of God. The second thing, I said the first thing is the Word. The second thing of Sabbath observance is worship, that I may diligently frequent the house of God, to hear that Word, to use the sacraments, and publicly call upon the name of God and contribute to the relief of the poor. Offerings are to be taken on Sunday, says the Catechism, during the service, as becomes a Christian. So we worship. We come to church for our own soul. But we also come to church for the encouragement of one another. We want to contribute to our brothers and sisters. And as I said, it's then that the church also is a light that's on a hill. It's not under a bushel. It's on a hill that cannot be hid. And then we need to understand that when we come to worship, and we've spoken already about our mentality and our attention and the spiritual efforts of love that are required. But now I want to add this. We do not come for a particular minister. But we come, we listen to be fed in our souls, to hear the voice of truth in the gospel. That's why. And then finally, we observe it by engaging in the Christian life. Sunday observance, the Word, the worship, and the Christian life. That's what we center on. 6 days, the next six, yes, but out of the refreshment of this day. The Catechism says, secondly, that all the days of my life I cease from my evil works and yield myself to the Lord to work by the Holy Spirit in me and thus begin the new life of the eternal Sabbath. And here's the point that's being made. Children and young people, here's the point, all of us. Sunday today, and then Monday through Saturday. That's not two lives. That can never be two lives. There's only one life for every human being in the world. Sunday and the next six, what do they have to do with each other? Well, it's not Sunday. I'm a public Christian. I'm a public Christian. The next six? Well, I'm not sure. Maybe somebody can't tell that I'm a Christian. That's not the way that works. We live the Christian life out of what we seek and hear on this day. The Sabbath is spiritual refueling so that all my days I may experience the rest that is mine in Jesus Christ, even the forgiveness of the burdens of my sins and the assurance that I am His and that heaven and glory is mine and that all things that I experience in the next 6 days are not against me, but are His grace to me, so that I seek my rest in Him. May we be in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Amen. We thank Thee, Father, for the Word. We know that it is always given to us in weakness, but Thou use it in power. Preserve us, even unto the last day, in Sabbath observance. In Jesus' name, amen.